Who run the world, girls? What's up, y'all? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to this Friday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Really excited to be joined with one of those girls that runs the world, woman, rather, Miss Valerie Jarrett, one of the three top senior advisors to President Obama. She met him back when she worked for the city of Chicago. She began her career in public service as a deputy corporation counsel in the mayor's office back in Chicago. That's how she ended up meeting yet to become then community organizer Barack Obama. She actually interviewed Michelle for a job, if you can believe this. How cool is that? She interviewed now Michelle Obama for a job, immediately offered her the job, and then the three of them went to dinner, and that is how Miss Jarrett's relationship and service with and for President Barack Obama began. She is currently the CEO of the Obama Foundation. I cannot wait to talk with her, and I believe we just are joined by Miss Jarrett. Welcome to the program, Miss Jarrett. Thank you so much. I just gave a rousing introduction of you, and I just wanted to share two small facts. I just finished some time in public service. I was the corporation counsel for Milwaukee County. So we have this little factoid in common. And I also am an enormous fan of Miss Melody Hobson and brought her to Milwaukee to address racial equity in financial planning and financial education and literacy. So really excited that you're also on the board of Ariel Investments. Welcome, Miss Jarrett.
Wow. Thank you so much. We do have a lot in common. That is true indeed. I will tell you, my first job working in local government in Chicago was in the Corporation Counsel's office. So it's an important job and it taught me a lot about public service.
Indeed. I treasure what I've learned working in local government. It's the nuts and bolts, the immediacy of impact on constituencies and residents. It just cannot be beat. I want to talk to you about having a positive impact on people's lives and the stakes of this election. So much of, and in part what I talk about on this show is some of these high level sort of threats and frankly opportunities in terms of Vice President Harris's candidacy. Can you make this real for people? What are the stakes? How is a regular person here in Wisconsin going to be impacted by the outcome here?
Well, everybody will be impacted by this election. And as you mentioned, look, I served 8 years, had the privilege of serving 8 years as a senior advisor to President Obama. So I understand really well the challenges and opportunities of the job. And what I think you need in a president is somebody who is smart, who has intellectual curiosity, who is rigorous and discerning and can take all kinds of complicated different facts and information coming at he or she from different directions and distill them into strategic decision-making process, and who can evaluate what policies and programs and legislation are going to actually improve the lives of the American people. And I also think temperament is really important. You cannot have somebody who is so busy being offended by the rhetoric that comes their way that they lose sight and they're there. And look, I've known Vice President Harris 2 decades now. She has been sitting right there for 4 years in the White House, the quintessential advisor to the President of the United States. She has learned the job as the most important understudy. She knows the issues both domestic and foreign, and if you listen to what she intends to do for the American people, everything from tax credits for newborn infants, because we know what a struggle it is when you have a new child in the house, to helping us get our mortgages, because everybody wants to buy a home thinking, can I afford that down payment for my mortgage? Making sure that small businesses have the capital that they need to grow. All of the different ways in which she's looking through the lens of ensuring that every child has the opportunities that she had growing up, she and her sister. And she always says, look, it's not good enough to be in the room. You don't want to be just the first. You certainly can't be the last. And so opening up doors of opportunity to all Americans and doing it with a joyful and inclusive and hopeful spirit looking at what is amazing about our country and what we have in common, as opposed to our differences. And so intellect and rigor and discipline matter. Temperament matters. Character and integrity matter. The President of the United States is a role model.
Yes.
I want my grandchildren to be able to watch the president on TV and have her be a role model for them, someone they will look up to, someone they will emulate. And if you just look at how she has comported herself throughout her entire career, throughout her entire life, she is a role model that we can all be proud of, not just some Americans, not just the Americans who vote for her, all Americans. And she'll represent us well, both here and abroad.
A president for all of us is what each of us deserves. I could not agree with you more, Ms. Jarrett. I wanted to ask you one of the what I personally noted during President Obama's terms was that in 2011, the administration published Women in America: Indicators of Social and Economic Well-being, and you were the chair of the White House Council on Women and Girls. Notably, that report had not been done again. That sort of data analysis had not been conducted since 1963 under President John F. Kennedy. I think of that as sort of, again, the importance of this election, the importance of the presidency to the lives of women and girls. If you could speak to that, Ms. Jarrett.
Well, look, representation matters. President Obama, half of his department heads were women. And so when he was making decisions, he had diverse voices around the table. If we look at the fact that, look, for almost my whole life, women had a right to choose about what to do with their bodies. Roe versus Wade, since it was passed, that was basically from the time I was an adolescent until it was reversed. And now you're seeing at the state level this erosion of a woman's right to choose. We're hearing these excruciating stories about women who are having to leave state because they can't get an abortion, physicians who don't want to perform abortions because they're afraid about the consequences, the health of the mother being put in jeopardy time and time again. These are decisions that affect not just women, but American families. And so I want a president who recognizes my right to choose, who respects the family unit, who doesn't try to get between my doctor and my family and me, who appreciates the fact that we are half the workforce. We should be commanding more positions in business and in elected office and in government the way you and I served. And we have to open up those ladders of opportunity. And so the stakes in this election are really high. We are so polarized right now. And the climate, the zeitgeist, if you will, is so kind of toxic. And we need someone who's going to bring a joyful spirit, who will see what we have in common and not focus on our differences, who will bring our country together again. And we need the American people to be engaged in this process, which means they have to show up and they have to vote, take advantage of early vote, don't wait till the last minute. This is your minimum responsibility of citizenship should be to vote, because elections have consequences. And we've seen that in a painful real time over the last few years.
The greatest privilege in the world to call yourself a citizen of the United States. Folks, that's Valerie Jarrett,
absolutely,
former senior advisor to U.S. President Obama, CEO of the Obama Foundation. Ms. Jarrett, on a personal level, it meant a lot to me to see you in the positions that you've had. You have been an inspiration. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
And please continue the good fight, ma'am.
Well, thank you for your service, too, and allowing me to come on. I appreciate it. Take care, and everybody vote. If you're listening, vote. Bye-bye.
Amen to all of that. Thank you so much, Ms. Valerie Jarrett, CEO of the Obama Foundation, the longest serving senior advisor to U.S. President Barack Obama. What an inspiration. It's a good way to go into the weekend, I think, y'all. And of course, with that, let's get some other inspirational good news. We've got Civic Media's very own Terry Barr for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin this week. Welcome, Terry.
Hey, Maggie. How are you? Happy, happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, my friend. What you got for us?
I have a great, talking about inspiration, I had the chance to talk with a woman from Southeast Wisconsin. She wrote a song that is now officially the state ballad. Did you even know we had a state ballad?
I had no idea, and I'm so excited to hear about this.
Yes. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Her name is Sherry Sarazen, and she found a book of poems that her grandmother had written, and she and her grandmother were really close, but she had never seen this book of poems until after her grandmother passed away. So she's paging through it, and she's thinking, oh, maybe I could find something to write a song about. And this is where I will let her jump in and tell this part of the story. I know Aaron has the sound to play for us. Go ahead, Aaron.
Back to my grandmother. She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin. And in 93, my mother gave me my grandmother's journal. And in the journal were all these songs and lyrics and poems. She thought I might, you know, find something of use. And here I went all the way through the journal, and there was this on the back cover, this poem about Wisconsin. And I read it and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the one. I went to the piano and it wasn't, I don't know. I don't think it was an hour. And I had the music matched up to the beautiful words that she had wrote. So I was encouraged to see if I could do something about getting it to be the official state ballad. I found out it had to go through legislation and become a law. So it took a while. It, you know, government's not real fast sometimes, but what an experience. Yeah. And we involved
Aaron, we
a bunch of school
there,
kids.
If you don't mind. I love this story so much, Maggie. Isn't it great how you just never know what you might find? And so what she has now is this amazing achievement, the official song, the Ballad of Wisconsin. It's called Oh, Wisconsin, Land of My Dreams. She plays harp to the song, and honestly, it is just one of the most beautiful things that I've heard. I'm so happy to be able to share the story. Another part of the story, she also recently won a Wisconsin Area Music Industry Award for her ballad.
Oh, this is just so cool. Her name's Sherry Sarazen. Congrats, Sherry, and thank you for that. Do we have the song itself?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask you, I just wrote this story about her, and
yes,
I included the song in my story, which you can find on the Civic Media website.
I
so
love
that
it.
That could be fun. Yeah,
I'm going to check
a
that out.
Version of it.
Awesome. So you can find Terry's story at civicmedia.us. And did you say there's a YouTube version of it, and you've got the link to that in the story?
You've got it. You've got it. It was just too good to not share the whole thing. And I just so enjoyed my conversation with her about going through this entire process. And as you heard at the end, she said, I didn't realize what a process it is. And I heard you laugh, which I think is really fun because we understand the process.
She would not give up,
though. And she now calls it a labor of love. She got school students involved, took them with her to the legislature, who then went to the lawmakers, even walked around at the Capitol and said, please, this is a beautiful song. We need a state ballad. We have state everything else. Why not a state ballad? And her final comment to me, I think my grandmother is looking down from heaven and she is very pleased.
Well, I am pleased, and every single one of you out there, I'm sure, are pleased as well. Terry, it's always a pleasure. Have a beautiful weekend, my friend.
Yes, you got it.
Thanks so much. When we come back, I've got some final closing thoughts for you and a positive note to go out with here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. We'll be back in just a moment.